Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Ben Coleman, President of Aerospace Management System Institute, Board Member of Professional Aerospace Maintenance Association, and National Aviation Safety Foundation. He's the anchor host for Plane Time Stressing Aviation Maintenance. He has over 3,000 hours of flight time around the world and is today's host.
Hi there. This is Ben Coleman. I'm your anchor host for the Florida Aviation Network here on the beautiful campus of the Aerospace Center for Excellence and the Central Florida Aerospace Academy. 49th annual Sun and Fun International Expo and Fly-In, and it's been just an absolute fantastic week. The people, the planes, the craft, the goods, the food. Did I say food? Yeah, I did say food. But anyway, it's always a highlight here, and we try to stick this in on a Saturday because it's right in the busy part of the day. Talking about some of our aeromedical aspects of aviation and what it has to do with aviation safety. I mean, a lot of folks, it's a no-brainer that if you're not medically fit, you're not going to be really up to pulling the task of being a pilot command. We have a very respected local individual here that's going to talk with us as soon as he silences his cell phone so we don't get one of those emergency calls. Doc, we need you. And we're live and in the clear. Doc Bush, the handshake.
Nice seeing you again.
You too, Doc.
It's only been a year.
We need to do this more often. Mm-hmm. But we will. I do need to come see you. But Doc Bush, you're out of the Stallion 51 Corral up in Kissimmee.
Correct.
And something that not too many people know is you're able to accommodate folks if they make an appointment with you to fly in to get their flight exam.
Well, we have a full-service flight line clinic where we do all sorts of FAA exams, Class 1, 2, and 3, special issuances. We have the HIMSS alcohol and drug program. And then we do some basic exams and ophthalmology, general stuff. Mm. So that's about it.
And you are there to help with the physiological aspects of the folks coming for their training.
Correct.
For their upset training, mm-hmm. and with Lee and his group there. Mm-hmm. Doc, we have about 20 minutes now. We had 22. We just ate up two of it. But you have some information that I want to make sure that we share with our group. And by the way, this is going off right now on internet streaming, but it's going to be available for perpetuity. And even the International Space Station gets this stuff.
Impressive.
So we're talking to...
I always wanted to go into space.
Well, somebody said you were spacey anyway. I don't get that.
Depends on the time of day, yeah.
Doc, the aspects of we were talking about earlier as we were wrapping up or getting ready to come into this is you're concerned about some of the drugs and alcohol and some of the abuses of that and some of your observations through your years of experience.
Well, you know, again, we run a HIMSS program through our clinic. Beth is my main assistant. She is the assistant. And we run a HIMSS program, which is basically an FAA-sponsored, an airline company-sponsored drug, alcohol, and mental health program for people that have those issues to get back in the cockpit and to keep flying. That's the first thing I'll say. The second thing I'll say is it's really based on federal regulation, not necessarily state regulation. So what the states do is a little bit different than what the federal government thinks. And specifically, I'm going to talk about marijuana and its derivatives for about 30 seconds. But basically, you have to go by federal standards for that. So all those marijuana things and the derivatives, the CBD oil and all these things, those things are not considered legal to use for aviators. And so, again, like I was saying early before this meeting, if a pilot happens to find himself in a marijuana legal state, mm-hmm. it's still not okay for him to use it, and he can get in serious trouble for that. So that's what I want to caution.
Him or her. How about hers?
Him or hers. Okay. Him or hers. But the point is, derivatives too.
And the derivatives like the CBD oil and what other derivatives are like gummies and you don't have but to
those
smoke
are,
a joint.
Those are not, those are really, that's THC there, but that's vehicles. That's called a vehicle. smoking gummies, brownies, whatever they do. So,
so you're up on all of this stuff?
No, I'm not up on it at all. I had never invented any. Everything I know, I read somewhere somebody told me.
That's smart.
And so I was just talking to Dr. Angelisi, the Southeast Regional Flight Surgeon, yesterday and again this morning, and we were just chatting about this very subject. And so I just didn't want any misunderstanding out there. The next irritating thing for us FAA types, AMEs, is people that get in trouble with alcohol.
Still,
alcohol is legal, and humans have been consuming some form of alcoholic beverage for 5,000 years. However, it's still not tolerated in amongst the FAA if you have a problem with it. Mm-hmm. Occasional use, social, all this in accordance with standards is fine. But as soon as you have a problem, which the number one problem is a DUI, then you're in trouble. And every time I have a pilot come into my clinic with a DUI, I'm like, dude, you were born in America. English is your primary language. What have you been doing for the past 20 years? Oh, you've been flying airplanes? Haven't you heard that it's not good to get a DUI? And once the local authorities get done kicking your, I was going to say ass, but I'll say butt.
You can't say ass on
there. I know. So once they get done working you over, then the FAA is going to work you over for an extra amount of time. So it's not smart. It's dumb to do that, especially with the Ubers and the Lyfts and all the ways we can get around if you want to go out socializing with your friends. I'm just amazed that that's still happening.
It is, and we're trying to give some guidance to a guy that stumped his toe pretty hard as he was younger. But he's paid his penance. He's done his time. And there is a program that if you stay clean for X amount of years and it can be medically, professionally proven that you're clean, you might be able to qualify for applying for a medical.
Absolutely, and that's what the HIMSS program
sure.
is. It's basically a drug and alcohol monitoring system. Mm-hmm. And I keep saying drug, but really 90% of the HIMSS pilots are alcohol. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's legal. It's all over. pilots are pretty good about the drug thing. It's not really a major problem from my perspective, nor is the mental health thing. It's mostly about the alcohol, and it's about getting in trouble with the alcohol.
And I'll share another euphemism with you that I use. There's never a problem until there's a problem.
Did you say euthanism or yes. euphemism?
Oh, Doc, you're too much. But there is never a problem until there's a problem. And then you wish so much that you had taken some of your advice from this show. But just listen to your friends. I mean, the community is smart enough on this. And I think people choose to be ignorant of things that they don't want to admit to.
Good perspective.
Did I just bring
yeah.
that up?
Yeah, good one.
I just came up with that. Doc, something else that is, that's been very, very heavy on my mind is what is this thing, and you're a doctor, aren't you?
Well, I mean, technically, I'm not really a doctor, but I did go to medical school, did pretty well, passed all the tests. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I've got every now and then, and I'm just curious about
myself. I only say that because I never knew a doctor before I became one. I was... Anyway,
did you stay at a Holiday Inn Express last
I
night?
I did.
Okay, that's cool. Joints. The joints have started to be a little bit tighter. And I've noticed that my skin is, the texture of my skin is changing, and my vision is starting to decay a little bit. What do you think's wrong with me?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's going to be fatal in the near future. It's the old age thing, right?
Age?
Yeah.
Am I suffering from age?
You're suffering from age. How old are you, 49?
Oh, 50. I just turned 50.
Good guess.
Are there many people that are afflicted with this disease called age?
Pretty much everybody.
Okay. Is there a point in time where somebody needs to determine, and even though you're an AME, you know where I'm going with this?
No.
Okay. Well, at some point, they're going to make a decision. You know...
Oh, you mean like giving up the Spurs? You're talking about giving
up.
Okay.
Hanging them up.
I got it. I've had to do that a few times, and sometimes I was worried about having to do it to well-known personalities. Mm. I've been fortunate enough to have some well-known personalities as patients over the years I've done this.
Would you care to mention any names?
No.
Okay, good.
But the point is, eventually, a pilot has to give up the Spurs. Hang up the Spurs, as they say. Mm-hmm. And so I have given them the old lecture. I mean, you know, you're failing this, you're failing that. You can't pass the eye test. You can't pass the hearing test. You're older than a dinosaur. Maybe it's time to hang it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's better for the pilot to decide when it's time for him to stop flying as opposed to the FAA to decide for them.
Yeah.
Now, I've known pilots that were very well-known, prominent guys, and basically the FAA told them, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
It's better if they get to decide themselves.
Sure.
Okay, well, I'll tell you, John Glenn, the famous Marine pilot, the Mercury astronaut, the senator, and the oldest guy to fly into space, great guy, right? I did not give him that speech.
Mm.
I thought I might have to, but he was smart enough to hang it up when it was time for him to hang it up.
Good.
And he went away in glory, as opposed to not glory. Professional athletes, it's the same thing.
Sure.
You don't quit when you've been sitting on the bench for 3 years after being a star, right? You quit when you're on the backside. So.
Yeah, you don't wash out. You wash up.
Good one.
Doc, I am going to ask for your support on something that I'm trying to start professionally and personally. And I do have the domain suspendedwings.com.
Oh, yeah? Okay, good.
Where I'm going to encourage people to, rather than question, we need to have a group of folks that, you know, it's been good. It's been a good ride, but I'm just not what I used to be. I want to self-suspend my wings rather than have the FAA suspend my wings.
Or, absolutely.
Worse, hurt somebody. And that's what we're all here to do.
Or embarrass yourself, like you get lost or you land at the wrong runway or just little things like that that happen once you start losing your faculties.
Yeah, but
those are all true things.
Okay? It is happening. And I am serious about this. And since you are somewhat local, I'm here in Lakeland, you're in Kissimmee.
Anytime you need a mental attitude adjustment, just give me a call and drive over.
Can you adjust this?
We'll have to go have a couple of beers while we do it.
Okay, there you go. That's good. No, not in moderation, though. Not in excess.
Absolutely.
In moderation. Doc, is there what is the most outrageous thing that you have seen in your career? Outrageous. Things that you just, no names.
You're talking about aviation?
Aviation,
or
medical,
general medicine. Because general medicine is way out there.
Aeromedical examinator type guy. Tell us what is. There's got to be something that's going to, you would not believe this. Something that you and Lee would talk about that you wouldn't believe with this guy.
That's a tough one. I mean, they're usually sad cases, like something you can't believe that's outrageous. It's probably not physiologic, although I've had a patient that had a heart transplant we got a medical for a number of years ago. And the FAA does give people that have organ transplants medicals. I think the number is up to like almost 200 people nationwide now. Pretty impressive.
So it is possible.
It is possible. Those are a little bit far out there, especially when you come to the circulatory system.
Sure.
I've had people approach me that wanted to become a pilot after they, you know, served three separate tours in federal penitentiary for armed drug trafficking. And I'm like, well, it's a challenging case. We can work it if you want, but it doesn't look too good. You know, they want to take pilot lessons now. So other than that, I mean, you know, got some interesting cases of congenital anomalies. And those have been kind of interesting. And the FAA is pretty open-minded about that. We have kids that have gotten certified, they've gotten their medical with, you know, unusual congenital anomalies, birth defects. In fact, I think there's a young gal out there that the FAA certified, not through me, but she was born without her arms. And she got certified to fly.
Met her.
I met her too. Yeah. She's quite a person.
Absolutely.
But the point is, determination and persistence can do a lot of things, and the FAA is impressed with that, and they really want to help. The FAA doctors want to keep pilots in the cockpit, but they got a big rule book that they have to go by. And so that's where we are, between that rock and a soft spot.
And there's a reason for those rules, and I call them standards.
They're standards, and they're general. So there's nothing that's specific, a few things. But when we're dealing with the FAA, nothing is out of the question. If we have persistence, we take our time and we prove our point. And that person is capable to operate an aircraft at whatever level they want to.
And you keep you with
for most things. In fact, 95% of the time that a pilot puts in for a waiver or exception to policy, the FAA approves it. And the number one reason that the FAA doesn't approve it is because the pilot loses his persistence. He gives up. You know, the power of persistence. Like, what was it? Calvin Coolidge, I think, said something about that. Nothing in the world will take the place of persistence. So that's what the FAA looks at. And again, 95% of the people applying for special issuance or a waiver is granted.
And SOTAs are often our statement of demonstrated ability.
Right.
Do you get involved in that process?
A statement of demonstrated ability is performed usually by the FAA/FISDO, and it's for a condition that's not expected to change, something that's stable.
Color blindness.
Color vision, missing a limb, certain things that are not going to change, not diseases. Diseases take a special issuance because they could get better or worse.
Doc, I will share one with you that you will talk about tonight at the Corral. Back in my NTSB days, I was investigating the accident, the Twin Beach crash. And the weather was bad. We figured it was just a weather-related accident, but one fatal. And digging into the investigation, found out that this gentleman that was flying the aircraft was on a work release program. He was incarcerated for alcoholism. He had so many DUIs, they were putting him in jail. Work release, the judge honestly released this man to go out and do his normal job. He was a corporate freight, he was a freight pilot. He was a freight dog. So on the way to the airport, he would go and get hammered before he'd take off. And this, he just happened to lose it in the bad weather this time. And I can't believe that the system allows that type of thing.
What year was that?
That was in 87.
So let's make a note that was over 30 years ago.
Yes, sir. It was.
To start with. Second of all, it's way, way, way better now. Third of all, that then even made the FAA cringe clear up to the top dog.
Okay.
Okay? And that's one of the reasons why we have the HIMSS program, to rehabilitate these pilots. Two reasons. One, if you got a 20,000-hour airline captain and he has an alcohol problem, you cannot replace him with any amount of money. It takes 20 years to get 20,000 hours, and that's if you work hard at it, okay? Mm-hmm. So they can't be easily replaced, but they can be salvaged. Mm-hmm. And almost all of them respond to therapy and treatment and counseling, okay? Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. And you know what? What was the second thing? I can't remember now. Got on a tangent.
It was good. You were on
roll.
It was going
to be a good one. The second thing probably is something like the FAA. Anyway, I think that there's... Wow, I'm getting one of those senile moments here. But
that's okay. That's
okay. Something to do with the HIMSS program. The point is, it's a good program. It's designed for these guys to salvage their careers. Before that, they didn't have that. And there's stories I've got from pilots that were flying in those days. They were like drinking in the cockpit back in the 60s. Why? Because they could.
Yeah.
Have you seen that movie called Flight with Denzel Washington?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know...
Yeah. Or airplane, yeah.
Maybe, I don't know what it was called. It was called something where he was a...
Airplane, gets upside down. Saved,
but the point is, it was a great movie, but it was not total fiction. It's sort of total fiction these days because they have checks and balances, and the airline people, if a pilot shows up intoxicated or hungover or not looking right, his compadres, his crew will turn him in.
Yeah.
In other words, you can't get away with that stuff anymore. The airlines are on it, the FAA's on it, and it's a way to help the pilots and salvage their careers.
And even in Alaska, you know, folks, I mean, they start shaking. You give them a drink, smooths right down. that was not categorically for everybody in Alaska, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But the doc...
I'm just saying, the 80s was... That's not my second point. The 80s is before all this took place.
Yeah.
The HIMSS, I don't know when it started, but it was around 30 years ago. And it's become really mushroomed into an awesome program the past 15 years. So this happened 35 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, times are different then.
Still, what happened to common sense? I mean, even 30, 40, 50 years ago, common sense-wise, you don't go fly freight after getting hammered when you've been locked up for having a DUL.
Yeah.
Remedial training. Do you get involved with any remedial trainings?
Remedial training for what?
Pilots that stump their toe. The FAA is going to take some enforcement action. But it wasn't intentional. It was accidental. They didn't mean to.
No, I don't get involved in that.
Okay.
I strictly am with the physiologic and medical certificate issues.
Okay.
They don't do with the other stuff.
Well, and this is all you try to save pilots from themselves, basically by educating them and showing them there's
well, yeah, because, I mean, it causes us a lot of paperwork.
Sure.
I mean, the paperwork is the not fun part of my job. Hanging out with pilots and poking them and bugging them and working them over, that's fun.
Yeah, yeah.
But the paperwork is not fun. So,
Doc, we have a few more minutes, and I do want to apologize for horning into some of your time with my stories, but I'd like to get your perspectives because you're very, very well respected in this area.
Appreciate it.
Not only the community, but the professional area, the arena. And I think it's called AvDoc 51?
AvDoc 51, yes. Okay. If you Google that up, you know, or you'll see where we are.
As a matter of fact, quickly, if our production guys could put a step, there you go. That's what I'm looking for. It's fuzzy.
Why is it fuzzy?
Boy, that's nasty.
There we go.
Who's that?
I wonder.
Okay. But you do have a vast history there with Lee and his group and Stallion 51.
Well, it's a great place to work because everybody that's there is enthusiastic. How can you not be? We have P-51s, we have other exotic warbirds, and everybody there is enthusiastic, whether they're a client, customer, pilot, visitor, work here, there, whatever. So it's all about being there.
Yeah, I've always been impressed with Lee and his and Rick and Pete and his brothers.
Oh, yeah.
All of them. People don't realize there's a whole gaggle of Lauterbachs back there. But their professionalism is second to none, and knowing that you are in with that group, it doesn't surprise me. So,
well, come over and visit.
I would love to, and I still want to get with Lee and mentoring. Lee is a real, real big mentor factor.
Mm-hmm.
And as we get older, and believe it or not, I am aging, and I want to start giving more and
more. I feel bad for you now that you're 50.
I do feel bad. Yeah. And it hurts.
I was 50 for a whole year. Yeah, many years ago.
This is one point. Before we head it out, the number one person that's responsible for their medical are themselves.
Is it the pilot. Especially when the pilot has a problem and needs a special issuance, which is a waiver, or he's in a program. The pilot has to be motivated, he has to be participatory, and he has to be partners with us because we can't babysit every one of them. So they have to be willing to participate.
And that's the biggest thing. It's right in the standard, though. If you don't feel like you're flying, you're in a good condition to fly, don't. We ground ourselves. I'm safe. Just this little earpiece just reminded me from our captain back there pulling the switcher. Doc, thank you very much for your time today. Is there anything else on the parting shot other than just come see me?
Nope. Not really. I have a good time flying. It's a great thing to do. We should be blessed that we're in the time when we can enjoy this as opposed to years ago. 100 years ago, we couldn't do this. So.
No. And let's fight hard to keep that privilege.
It's not getting any cheaper or easier, too.
No, it is. So, Doc, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. Airshake.
Enjoyed it.
Cool.
Thanks.
All right, Ben Coleman, your anchor host for the Florida Aviation Network. We're going to sign this one off, and I don't know how we can top it, but we're going to try. Later on, we're going to talk to Lee Lauterbach. We're going to see what Lee has to say about this guy. Take it easy. See you next interview.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.